Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Hey sleepers, welcome to the Sleeper Wire Monday Recap. I'm your host, Professor Chris, and with me, I got Dirty Jobs Mike. Mike, what's going on, man?
Not much. How we doing this evening?
Doing awesome. How's your fantasy week looking so far?
Ugh, buddy, I'm telling you what, I drafted really heavy on Odell Beckham. I drafted heavy with Dalvin Cook, and I'm really starting to feel the effects. Jordy Nelson, you name it. I'm struggling this week. If I get lucky, I'll go 3-8. How about you, man?
Almost the opposite. If I get DeMarco Murray to score 9 points tonight, then I will end up 9-3 on the week. So, and you know what? Last season, I wouldn't have been nervous, but this season, 9 points in a PPR from Murray sounds like could be a challenge.
Right, yeah, that might be a little bit scarier than one would think, but I think you can feel comfortable.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. All right, well, hey, we had some significant stuff happen over the weekend. Not a whole lot of news, but the news that's here is pretty big.
Right. It was a rough weekend for a lot of players. I mean, not as many as it's been, but, man, we're running out of first-round draft picks here.
No kidding. So Aaron Rodgers got tackled, fell after he threw the pass, fell on his right shoulder. The Packers announced that Rodgers has broken his collarbone and could likely miss the rest of the season.
Oh, that's devastating for Packers fans because that backup Hundley does not look like he's a very good quarterback. What did you think of him?
No, I thought he looked terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe I was watching it comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, like seeing if he could do that and wasn't being as objective as I could have been, but he didn't look good. And I was really disappointed with this because I was hoping to see a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and this definitely knocked him out of any contention or anything. I mean, maybe this guy just felt on the spot. Maybe he's just not prepared for the team. I don't think that's the case. What do you think of their stars right there? Do you think they take a big hit? Or?
I mean, you can't say that they don't take some sort of hit. I think all of the wide receivers take a step back. Jordy, I think, will still be a number one, but Cobb and Adams get a step down as well. One thing I also noticed was that Aaron Jones was not as involved as we thought he would be.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. And if you look at what's going on from this point forward as well, it's probably not looking very good for him to be too involved. You're going to want Ty Montgomery back there, the guy who can catch those quick outs. You've got a backup quarterback playing, so this changes everything. I think Martellus Bennett actually takes a tick up too.
And you would think with a guy that inexperienced coming in at quarterback, they would have run the ball more, right? I would have expected Aaron Jones to get a lot more carries. What about you?
See, yeah, I was thinking that, oh, this might just be the time to have this guy. I was feeling pretty good about suggesting him last week. And then, yeah, it just did not seem to go with that game flow at all. They were not running him. They did not get him as involved. It just is completely backwards from what they should have done, I think.
Right, and they weren't down by a whole lot either. I mean, they were down, but they weren't losing by a ton. They could have still run the ball.
Right, absolutely.
So is there anybody who on the Packers who you are just going to drop, someone you don't like anymore?
I don't think I'm where I want to drop him. I've got a couple shares of Davante Adams that I'm kind of worried about, but I think I'm going to see what happens there. He does run a lot of quick routes, which is new quarterback friendly. Randall Cobb, I don't have too many pieces of him, but I think that'd be another guy that I'm kind of starting to shy away from. Like I said, I think Aaron Jones, give him a shot because I think that Ty Montgomery and him have room to get involved. And I can't stress enough, I do like Martellus Bennett now.
According to Ian Rappaport, Golden Tate is expected to miss time, likely a few weeks due to a shoulder injury. And this is a bummer because Tate's one of my favorite players.
Right, I'm heavily invested in that guy too, and it just, it's killing me. These injuries are killing me this year.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of them. I mean, I guess we say that every season. But
right. Absolutely. Because it sucks every year.
Yeah. Yep. It certainly does. So Marvin Jones, does he become a start?
I believe so. Yeah. I think he's a must start. I think, on that offense, he's going to be very serviceable from here on for the next few weeks anyways. I mean, and he did just as good as Golden Tate did yesterday. So I think he's pretty decent in a pinch.
All right. Well, we will get more into the lines a little bit later. Moving on, NFL's Joe Lockhart said, in regards to Zeke, the suspension is in place. Anyone who tells you otherwise is not accurate. And I believe him. There was an alert that came out earlier today that said that it was very unlikely that the court was going to reinstate the injunction.
Yeah, it looks like it's done. Looks like it's a done deal. Looks like Ezekiel Elliott's on your bench for the next few weeks. Count on that. I hope you got Darren McFadden or Alfred Morris. I think Alfred Morris is the more serviceable back here still, but I think we will see this weekend.
Yep, I agree with you about Morris. All right, let's go ahead and move on. And I feel like we can move on because we've talked about Zeke to death, right?
Yeah, I'm just tired of talking about this guy.
All right, well, let's move on to another injury. Jameis Winston suffered a sprained AC joint in his throwing shoulder. It could be something that he can play through. He did come back in for a couple series after he got injured against the Cardinals on Sunday. Do you see him playing through this or maybe taking a couple weeks?
I think he'll actually play through this. If he was already playing through in that game, he's going to come back. I think the reason that they didn't instate him anymore is because that game just kind of got out of hand. It did kind of shock me that they didn't get him going there at the end, though, when it kind of started closing up.
So you think he's going to play? You think DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans going to be fine?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I do.
All right. I lean towards the same thing only because he came back in. Sprained AC joints. I mean, shoulder stuff is really nothing to even joke about. But if he came back in, I'm on your side there. Leonard Fournette seemed to injure his ankle on Sunday, but he's expected to be fine for week 7. So there's no need to run out and spend all your fab on Chris Ivory.
Yeah, that's the best advice you can give right there. I think a lot of people are sitting on that trigger thinking about that. And no, you're spot on. It looks like he'll be okay. The one thing that kind of bothers me about that, it was a non-contact. And a high ankle sprain is nothing that you can sell short. I'd really keep an eye on this thing. If he plays Sunday, hopefully he's the same Leonard Fournette.
How many catches did Chris Ivory have yesterday? Or on Sunday?
I did not see it. I heard it was a lot, though.
Nine catches.
That is crazy.
Did involved. He have nine in his career? I always thought he was a power back, wasn't he?
Yeah, I remember you guys making fun of me for saying that earlier this season. I was like, he's getting receptions.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's weird to look at him sitting up here as the number 7 in PPR for the week, but I think we can just sort of disregard this one week, can't we?
Yeah, that, to be fair, when I said that was week 2, and you guys were right to make fun of me when I said it, and it still probably stands true. I don't see this. I mean, maybe if you see Fournette having issues, then he'll be a decent grab, but no.
All right. Moving on, Trevor Siemian underwent an MRI on Monday on his left shoulder. The Broncos are afraid that it's the same AC injury that he had last year, which is, you know, kind of a blow to the Broncos. It's not like Siemian was playing like a superstar this year or anything. Does anything really change with Osweiler being in there? And Mike, you're a Broncos fan, so take it away.
I'm a Broncos fan, but I am an Osweiler hater. But at the same time, I think that maybe everything could work out for the Broncos right here. And hear me out. This was their predetermined destiny, right? They wanted Brock Osweiler to take over that offense at one point. Now they're kind of forcing the issue. And I feel like if that guy can sit back and gel with a team, he can actually be a fairly serviceable quarterback. He was way off last night. He's way off the past 2 years. So he's going to have to overstep a lot of things to become that guy that I'm sitting there thinking that he could be. But I really do like the future of the Broncos with Brock Osweiler. As crazy as that sounds, I like it better than I liked what I was going with Trevor Siemian. And as you know, as a Broncos fan, I've been really down on the Broncos, and I warned people, you should sell CJ Anderson high while you have a chance. And this is the Broncos I was talking about.
All right. I think I still believe in CJ.
I never did. I cannot. That's the games that I worry about so much, and he has so many of those.
Yeah. All right, another piece of news from the same game. Emmanuel Sanders was carted to the locker room after spraining his ankle during the loss to the Giants. Had an MRI on Monday. X-rays were also negative for a broken ankle. So it's not broken, just pretty sprained.
Yeah, and again, you know who else had one of those? Odell Beckham. keep an eye on it. Makes me nervous.
Because it could break when he comes back, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying it could break, but I think Odell rushed it back, and Emmanuel Sanders kind of has that same attitude, like, get me on the field, coach.
Yeah, he wants to be out there.
Yep.
Next piece of news. Martavis Bryant has requested a trade. I was kind of surprised by this.
They're not getting him involved, and I think he just knows he's an elite-level talent wide receiver, and he's just, but you're on a field with Antonio Brown. So, you're going to have to deal with being the number two wherever, if you stay on that team, and maybe he thinks he's ready to go be a one somewhere else. I don't see this trade happening, though. I don't see him getting rid of him. Maybe this will get him more involved.
So you don't want to have a fun speculation game or anything?
Where do you think he would go? There's some. You got New York that's devastated. You got Denver who had hits to Demaryius and Sanders, although Demaryius came back last night.
I was thinking maybe Buffalo.
Buffalo would be, wow. Can you imagine him with Tyrod Taylor? That would be insane.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good fit right there.
And they need another receiver.
Yeah, this is true.
Can you name anybody besides Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones?
Charles Clay?
Exactly. So they need another guy. Martavis Bryant could be good there, but we'll keep the speculation to a minimum until something actually happens. Moving on, Brian Hoyer once again has lost his job.
Yeah. Who saw that coming besides everybody?
Yeah, no kidding. Rookie CJ Beathard will take over at QB, and, I'm not sure he'll do any worse than Hoyer.
Right. Hoyer might actually, he might go to Green Bay. You never know. Like, that's a uniform he hasn't worn yet.
That's true. Yeah, he could be there. So, Pierre Garçon, does he stay the same or does he take a bump down?
I think he takes a bump down. When I watched that guy play, I didn't really care for what I saw. He just didn't seem stunning to me. But
okay. Give
him a few weeks. Maybe he'll start getting better.
Does Carlos Hyde rise?
I think Carlos Hyde definitely rises.
Okay. Which means Matt...
You get your hands on some Kittle, too.
Yeah, that's true. I think that means that Matt Breida rises a little bit, too, if Hyde's value rises.
Right. Correct.
Yep. All right, and last piece of news that we have here, we don't need to spend too much time on it. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reported that Teddy Bridgewater has been cleared to practice. So good for him.
Yeah, if he can get back on that team in time, that could be a big game changer for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, didn't he tear everything in his knee last year?
Yeah, I think they had to build him a new leg.
Yeah, it was like ACL, MCL, and PCL.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Well, it'll be good to see him... not on the sidelines anymore. He was never like a stunning quarterback or ever fantasy relevant, but it'd be good to have him back.
Yeah, I agree. It's always better having the good players out there. He was a great quarterback when he was good.
And he was great at Louisville. That's where he was, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for the news. Let's go ahead and move into the game reviews. So we're going to start off with Thursday Night Football. Last week, the Eagles beat the Panthers 28-23 in Carolina. Mike, did anything stick out to you about this game aside from Zach Ertz being the greatest tight end who's ever played?
I don't know if I agree it's the greatest tight end that ever played, but he did pretty amazing, and I have him heavily invested too, so I liked it a lot. No, not really. This game kind of went – Funchess went down. That kind of sucks, but it looks like he'll be back. Kelvin Benjamin, man, he was looking like he was back. There's a lot of things that I really liked. That's just really two good NFC teams right there. That was a great game.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, I probably have Zach Ertz in 9 of my 12 leagues.
I believe I do, too.
Yeah, I went all in on him, and it's turned out great. What about Cam Newton? He still put up an okay fantasy day because he had the rushing touchdown as well. But did you expect him to regress that much from what he'd done the previous 2 weeks?
I really didn't, and especially playing at home against what really I think was the big difference there was the Philadelphia rush, the pass rush was improved so significantly, and I think that's what really won the day. I don't really think that was Cam Newton losing. I think that was Philly's rush defense winning.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. He looked terrible. He had 3 picks. One of them was a bobble by Jonathan Stewart that should have been caught. But he probably should have had like 5 or 6 picks because his passes were way off.
Yeah, they did. They looked like they were coming out like little butterflies, man. It was bad.
So Christian McCaffrey, did he do anything to make him rise a little bit even more?
You know, he got in the touchdown. He looked like he's starting to get used a little bit more. The one thing that I didn't understand is, you know, yeah, Jay Stu, he was out there just getting stuffed run after run after run. I couldn't believe that they weren't trying to get McCaffrey involved right there. It seemed like you'd want to maybe try to run him a few times and see if he has more success, but they didn't.
Yeah, they certainly just kept him in for the passing plays.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, that makes it too predictable as well.
10 catches on 14 targets.
Right.
That's quite a bit. What about Kelvin Benjamin sort of turned it around, or it seems like he's sort of turning it around, 9 for 99.
Yeah, that was a great stat line. He just needs to get in a touchdown, and he's going to be on everybody's trade target. You know, you're going to want this guy if he continues to be the Kelvin Benjamin that he used to be. It's actually looking promising.
Any other guys in this game that you want to talk about?
You know, just the Philadelphia Eagles backfield is still just a cluster mess. I didn't really like anything I saw out of there. LeGarrette Blount didn't do much that impressed me. And that's about it.
All right. Well, let's move on. Bears beat the Ravens 27-24 in Baltimore. And I am surprised the Bears have as many wins as they do.
Yeah, you know, they just don't look like a team that should be winning, and they're winning. They're doing it week in, week out.
Mitch Trubisky looked really good.
Yeah, he looked like an elite NFL quarterback, and that's a really tough place to go do that in. You know, you're talking about other quarterbacks that just look miserable going in there, and these guys are veterans.
Yeah, I really like how accurate he is when he's on the run, too.
And that makes a big difference in a run in a quarterback. If you can do that while you're on the run, just think about other quarterbacks that can do that we still talk about all the time. Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, Dak Prescott. Think about the one element that adds. And those guys, you know, they can throw a few interceptions and still be okay because they'll run for 60, 70 yards and a touchdown in some games.
Yeah. So he's looked good. Jordan Howard looked okay. He had a big run in, was it overtime or was it the fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, I believe.
Yeah. Let's see. On the Ravens side of the ball, really no one impressive. Buck Allen, you were pretty high on him.
Yeah. Yeah, and he kind of let me down. I mean, he's getting the carries. He looks getting the workload, but they're doing much with that offense right now, which is weird. I mean, it just doesn't seem like Joe Flacco's the kind of guy that goes stagnant, especially at home. And you can contribute some of that to the Bears defense because they are a lot more solid than a lot of people think. But at the same time, I mean, it's just that Baltimore team looks like it's having a lot of problems.
Yeah, they certainly do. And Flacco has just looked terrible. Piece of news, Breshad Perriman got knocked out this game once again. Because he can't ever stay on the field. I'm not sure why he's kind of like Kevin White at this point, isn't he?
Right. He's made of glass. I was really high on this guy this year, and he another guy that just let me down. You know, I just cannot believe that he's on the injury report again.
Yep. Week after week after season.
Yeah, I mean, and he'll be on it for the rest of this season, too. Yep. He'll come back for one game, break his ankle.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Another guy, Zach Miller, looks pretty good, but I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. Any other guys fantasy relevant in this game?
You know, not really. I didn't really catch, not too many other people caught my eye. I mean, Alex Collins, he's still looking like he's a serviceable back there. He's seeming like he's getting a piece of that workload, but, you know, I mean, you're talking about desperation only.
And Tariq Cohen threw a touchdown.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
How did he even see over the blockers?
Right?
He's so small.
Practiced that play enough that it was a blind throw.
It had to be. There's no, like, the cameras, like, when it was behind him showing the replay, the cameras couldn't see the receiver. I have no idea how he saw him.
Right.
It was just, hey, we're going to run this play, run to this spot, because that's where I'm throwing the ball.
Right.
All right, next game, we had the Packers scored 10 against the Vikings, who scored 23. I did not expect the Packers to lose this game, but as we alluded to earlier, Aaron Rodgers did break his collarbone, and he's, you know, missed most of the game, out for season. Adam Thielen stepped up once again.
Yeah, Adam Thielen's looking really good back there. It doesn't look like they need to rely on Diggs as heavily as they do. And just imagine what that's going to do for his fantasy value, because you're going to have to focus coverage on this guy.
Yeah, 9 for 97 on 13 targets. That's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that is because Diggs was out, but at the same time, once again, you got to be excited about that production.
But, I mean, he puts up big numbers when Diggs is in there, too.
Right, just not 13 targets.
Right, just not 13 targets. I would like to see him get in the end zone. He hasn't scored yet this season.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, especially on that especially the way that guy gets open and how he can break away from the play so good. It is amazing that he has. And, you know, he reminds me of a younger Golden Tate. Like, he busts out of things and surprises me he hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Let's see. Jerick McKinnon also looked good once again.
Yeah, he's dominating that backfield. I know a lot of people were starting to say, well, Latavius Murray was hurt. You know, he just doesn't look like he's doing that good. Although he looked better last week as well. I just think Jerick McKinnon is just outshining him bad.
Yeah, he's got 16 carries both the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's definitely the more impressive guy. He's the one getting the touches. He's the one getting the targets. So he looks good. Scoring a touchdown both weeks. Actually, two this week and one last week. So that's pretty great. Did you play him in any leagues this year or this week?
I did. I did play him in a couple of leagues. I actually didn't play him in our league of record.
So, oh, bummer.
So I'm going to take one on the chin this week for the first time this season.
Good.
Against Max.
Good. I hope you lose every game from here on out.
Hey now. I had Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback, so I'm hurting for certain, but we'll get there.
Moving on to the next game with 49ers 24, Redskins 26. Brian Hoyer, got benched in this game. Carlos Hyde scored himself a couple touchdowns, though.
Yeah, he was looking good, you know. They keep on. You saw the rumor last week about how they're planning on dealing him. I don't know if this was a result of maybe like, hey, look what we got, or if it was like, hey, guys, you want to keep me here? So keep an eye on that guy. He's looking really good, though.
I mean, yeah, he got you touchdowns. I'm not sure how good he looked. 13 carries for 28 yards.
Oh, I see. And I thought he had a higher stat line than that.
Nope, 13 for 28. He did score two rushing touchdowns. He had five catches for 47 yards, which was pretty good. He had a great fantasy day as of right now before DeMarco Murray's playing, because we're recording this on Monday before the Monday night game. He's the number six in PPR for the week. But yeah, only
okay, see, that must be the numbers that I saw was his receiving numbers. And that's the kind of things that make my eyes light up, you know, especially a PPR running back. Those are my favorites because I'm in a lot of PPR leagues. So that's maybe why I thought he looked as good as he did.
Okay.
But yeah, that 13 for 28 is pretty bad.
Yeah, that part's pretty low. Samaje Perine got into the end zone on a pass from Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins threw two touchdowns, also had a rushing touchdown as well. And Chris Thompson, he's the one who was getting all the touches, but his production was also pretty low through the ground. 16 carries for only 33 yards. He did put up four catches for 105 yards, but for someone who rushed it 16 times, 33 yards isn't a whole lot.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's not like we're facing a very tough defense in the 49ers, you know, so I mean, those numbers are even less impressive.
Right. Yeah, I was not very impressed with that. Samaje Perine didn't do much better, 23 yards on 9 carries, but he's the one who got you the touchdown, which was pretty great. What do you think?
Just looked like such a beast when he did it, too. I really like the look of that guy. He seems like a big, mean back, you know, and I think that'll fit into that system a lot better.
What do you think happens when Rob Kelly comes back?
You know, I think he takes his job back. I still think he's the best running back there.
I agree. Absolutely agree there. All right, Lions 38, Saints 52. You know, we talked all week last week about this being a high-scoring game, and this did not disappoint with 90 points.
90 combined points.
Yeah.
That is just insane. There was scoring punches and bunches, man. That was crazy.
Yep, and Drew Brees didn't exactly have a great fantasy day. You would think with 52 points...
Five special teams and defensive touchdowns in that game.
Something crazy. But yeah, he only had 186 for two touchdowns and two interceptions.
Right. Yeah, nope. And and Matt Stafford really didn't do too much better on the other side of the ball. It was that was just a crazy game. It's hard to say what happens after that. Stafford definitely doesn't look like he's throwing like himself. They just lost Golden Tate for a few weeks. I think the Lions might be in a little bit of trouble right now.
Yeah, he actually had his season high in pass yards of 312. He threw three touchdowns, but he turned the ball over five times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three picks and two fumbles.
Yeah, he just did not look like himself. He didn't look like he was invasive, tough, I'll knock you to the ground guy. So.
Yeah. Mark Ingram, though, looked fantastic.
Wow. You know, you get Adrian Peterson out of the mix, and I guess he just starts to shine. That's just crazy to me that it's still even a discussion that they go out and grab running backs when he is so good and he fits that system so well.
Exactly.
And especially when you use him, you start doing things like scoring 52 points.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have a great running back and you give him the ball. Who knew?
Yeah.
Right? Who would have thought? I had someone who was giving me a bunch of crap for believing in Ingram, and someone had said, like, I'll trade for him. This was last week, and we couldn't get a deal worked out because I didn't know what was going to happen with Ingram, but I still kind of believed in him. And once AP got traded, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not trading him now. He's a must-start for me this week. And they were saying, or this guy was, you know, oh, Adrian Peterson only has like 80 rushing yards on the season. Like, Mark Ingram isn't going to, you know, that's not going to do anything for Mark Ingram. And, yeah, he was wrong.
Way off. Yeah, nope. He was one of my higher starters last week.
25 carries, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns, adding on 5 catches for 36 yards. Great game. He was the number 2 PPR back this week, just after Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, wow.
Who also had a great game, but we'll get into that here in just a second. Let's see, moving over to the Lions, we talked about how Golden Tate is going to be out for a few weeks. Marvin Jones takes a step up. What about Eric Ebron?
I don't think Eric Ebron ever takes a step up.
Okay. All right. Hot take. What do you think maybe Kenny Golladay?
Yeah, see, now Kenny Golladay coming back next week interests me. I've got my eye on that situation because without Tate, that's going to move him over. That's going to move Jones over to that number one spot. So now we're looking at that wide receiver two. Matt Stafford likes spreading that target around to that one and two. So I think he's actually probably worth a start this week.
Yeah, if you're hit by bye weeks, then absolutely. I think. Alvin Kamara had a decent game as well. Didn't he get 75 yards?
Yeah, he did. He produced. He definitely got on the board.
Yeah, we got double digit fantasy points in PPR. So 10 carries for 75 yards and adding on 4 catches for 12 yards. A pretty good day for him. Willie Snead was as limited as they said they were going to make him.
Yeah, if you listened to us last week, we said, do not play this guy. We don't know what he's going to do yet. We also said the same thing about Adrian Peterson, but on this one, we were right.
Yeah, and you know I had to play Snead.
Yeah, of course so, of course.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, not looking great either. He didn't have a big game.
You know, and this is, I've been talking about this since the draft. Michael Thomas is a Saints wide receiver, so that means he's going to get... He's going to get games where he's going to score 30 points and you're happy with it. But that also means you're going to have days where he has 2 points and 3 points. Same thing happened with Brandon Cooks. He's running into the same thing up in New England too.
Right.
It's that type of receiver. It's that type of core.
Yeah.
He just so hit or miss. I just don't like getting involved with him.
You know, after 2 great weeks, he's gotten the 80 plus yards weeks 3 and 4 with a touchdown both weeks, 7 catches and 8 catches. You would think with the, you know, Saints scoring 52 points, he'd have a higher stat line than 3 catches for 11 yards.
I mean, granted, he was also pretty much covered by Slay that whole game.
Yeah, but it's still lower than I would have thought he would have got.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. He definitely let you down if you started him last week. That's like I said, that's why I try to avoid that team as much as I can, except for their backfield and Drew Brees. I like both of those.
Would he be a buy low candidate for you?
I think so. I mean, he's definitely a good guy to get in there on home games, especially, although he's also been showing it on the road this year. I just don't see that continuing. Drew Brees isn't a road quarterback. Okay. He was an angry road quarterback when that worked out last time.
Moving on, Dolphins 20, Falcons 17. The Falcons gave up a 17-0 lead.
Again, last time it was a 20-25 point lead.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very reminiscent of the Super Bowl, and Jay Cutler looked great compared to Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yeah, he showed up. He does that from time to time. He'll probably only do that about 2 or 3 more times this year, I'd expect. Matt Ryan, though, man, that team is looking like they're having a tough time finishing games. And I look at Devonta Freeman's stat line, and it's like they forget that they have a solid running game that they can depend on to win these football games, and they just never rely on it. They just sit back and throw.
Yep.
And it's like you get command of the game, take command of the game, run the ball. You've got Devonta Freeman, and behind him you've got Tevin Coleman. You're fine. Run the ball.
Yeah, they can afford to run it. That's absolutely what they should have done in the Super Bowl. If they'd only run the ball instead of getting sacked.
Yep, sacks and turnovers and interceptions.
Would have been field goal range, and they would have been up by 9, I believe.
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah. We can get away from the Super Bowl, though. Jay Ajayi, 26 carries for 130 yards, put together a pretty nice day. Same score in standard and PPR because he didn't get any catches. Jarvis Landry had himself a day, and I am very happy to see him still, you know, kicking ass out there. Number six on the week right now in PPR points, 8 for 62 and a touchdown.
Yeah, he was looking good yesterday, and he always looks good. I've always been a big Jarvis Landry fan. It seems like Cutler's starting to get a little bit more comfortable, maybe a little less Parker and a little bit more Landry for the future.
Yeah, I do not know why everybody was so high on Parker. I've been on the Landry train, you know, since day one, basically.
Right, right. And I think people are high on Parker's because of the usage that he gets with Jay Cutler as the quarterback. And that's all rightfully so. But that's because you haven't got to see him with Jarvis Landry much yet. And it's kind of like one of those things. It's kind of like Jared Goff trying to find Sammy Watkins. Once he found him, he knows who his deep man is. And he tried to hit Sammy Watkins deep a couple times just to prove the reference. I mean, you've got that deep guy right here. And so he is an acceptable play. It's not like I'm down on DeVante Parker. It's just that Jarvis Landry is such a better football player. He's so much more effective to get him involved in the game.
Yeah, he's got 43 targets through five games. Because remember that week one was the bye because of Hurricane Irma. And he's had double-digit points in PPR every single week.
And that's typical. He does that. You know, he's good for 12 to 15 floor. And that guy can light up your ceiling. And they need to start getting him involved more to get that ceiling up there.
Yeah, I agree. Kenny Stills also caught a touchdown, had himself a pretty good day. Let's see, 4 for 49 and a touchdown. So the touchdown definitely saved you if you started him. Matt Ryan, only one touchdown. He looked pretty bad. Tevin Coleman got the only rushing touchdown. And Julio Jones, man, what is going on?
They're just not, again, they're just not using their best players. Kyle Shanahan leaving, yes, that hurt, but you wouldn't think it would hurt this bad. You wouldn't think that this team would forget that their offensive weapon is Julio friggin' Jones.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he still was okay, 6 for 72, but he's a guy that where you drafted him, you expect, you know, 9 for 120 and a touchdown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Antonio Brown numbers, because you drafted him right after Antonio Brown.
Exactly. And he just hasn't been giving you those numbers this whole entire season.
Nope.
It's starting to get scary.
Yeah. He still put up double-digit points in four of the five games, but still not the production that you want from this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Browns 17, Texans 33. Deshaun Watson threw three more touchdowns, which he's just been on fire. Lamar Miller had an okay day. Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins both with touchdowns yet again.
I'm going to keep saying bench Will Fuller, and he's going to keep catching touchdowns.
Now, he did only catch two passes for 62 yards on five targets, but it seems like that's all he needs to do because he's going to get a touchdown.
It reminds me a little bit of Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon would only catch about four or five passes a game, too. Except he would get 160 yards and two touchdowns when he'd catch the ball. That's what made him so great. So I'm sold on Will Fuller. I think you have to ride the hot hand. You got to start this guy, get him in your lineup. He's probably going to let you down eventually, but until he does, put him out there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I can't bring myself to believe in, and then he does it anyway.
Right, same here. Same here.
Let's see, Isaiah Crowell. He led the Browns in touches, but are you doing anything with Crowell? Have you dropped him? Are you planning on dropping him? Because you probably can't trade him for much. He did have 12 carries for 58 yards.
I was talking about this last week, and I did drop him in a few leagues, and I was regretting it because you'd never want to drop him running back mid-season. That's just a bad idea. But I really don't feel bad still, and I'm still going to lean on that. I don't think that it's going to change for him. I think if anything changes in that system, it'll be Duke Johnson.
Yeah, and this was, you know, 12 for 58 and then two catches for 15 yards. This was the second most fantasy points he scored this season.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, he's just not getting it done. He's not getting the opportunity. When he does get the opportunity, he's just not making the most of it.
Yeah, he's been pretty terrible.
Yeah, been rough this year.
Man, yeah, it certainly has. But the Texans' defense, even after losing Merciless and Watt, still looked okay.
Still looked okay against the Browns. We'll see how they do from here on out.
I guess that's fair. All right, let's move on to the next game. Patriots 24, Jets 17. And this should have been even closer, and it should have been 24-24 at one point in time. But anyways, Chris Hogan let you down.
Chris Hogan did let you down. He got injured kind of a little bit right in there, but he came right back out. Gronk, woo!
Yeah, he was gronking it up.
Yeah, that's why you can't say Zach Ertz is the best tight end out there.
You know what? I'm still going to say it.
Not till next week, until Gronk's knee blows out again.
Oh, man. But yeah, 6 for 83 and 2 touchdowns. That's what you want from Rob Gronkowski, and that's why you draft him in the second or third round, so he can put up games like that. Deion Lewis was in there getting the carries over Gillisley.
Oh, you know, I love me some Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
And he's doing more with the carries. I've been saying it since the beginning of the season. He is the better running back in that system.
Yeah, we'll get more into him a little bit later, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Josh McCown did what you could possibly, you know, probably expect a streaming quarterback to do. Number 7 as of right now, 354 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have a couple picks in there, but this was a season high for him.
He's not looking bad. He's actually, I streamed him a couple of weeks ago, and that wasn't a bad idea. He's looking pretty good, and that connection that he has with Austin Seferian Jenkins is really working out.
Yeah, ASJ has been awesome.
Yeah. Just awesome. He's really playing with that chip on his shoulder. He's got a lot to prove, and he's proving it.
Yep, he's the number 4 tight end this week, and I think you're going to start to see him near the top 5 every week, which is pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Matt Forte only got 9 carries and 22 yards, but had 8 catches for 59 yards. I didn't think he was going to have 8 catches his first game back.
You know, right when I heard Matt Forte was going to be in, we were telling everybody, get off of the train. Get off the train. It's time to get on the Forte train, because when he's in there, he's the guy that they're going to hand it to. And he just lit it up, man. He did really, really good, I thought.
Yeah, through the air.
He looks like Forte always does.
Yep. He certainly looked good through the air. 9 for 22 is okay, I guess, is his first game back. But through the air, he looked fantastic. And I don't know if that's going to slow down much.
No, I don't see. I mean, Bilal Powell might get a little bit more involved once he gets back. But no, I think it's going to be the Forte show until then.
Yep, I would agree with that. Let's see, I think that's it for that game. Moving on, Buccaneers 33, Cardinals 38. This one was up to the wire.
You know, that 38-33 really kind of lies about how that game went, right?
Yeah.
That was Cardinals all day, and then Buccaneers decided, hey, fourth quarter, we better start playing some football.
Yeah, the Cardinals absolutely dominated.
Adrian Peterson looked really, really good.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, you know, that's the Adrian Peterson that we're used to seeing. I think he finally feels good about a system that he's on. I cannot believe that he happened. What was that, 4 days after the trade?
Yeah. Just went to a brand new team 4 days later. Had 26 carries, 134 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
That's the Adrian Peterson that you drafted in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I don't think anyone saw him getting 26 carries. I think most people would have had him about half that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I didn't even see him getting involved. I said, let's wait and see what he does till next week. And
yep.
Whoops.
Yeah, for sure. Doug Martin also got into the end zone, so that was pretty good. He's going to finish as an RB2 for the week. 14 for 53 and a touchdown, adding on, I guess it was only 1 catch for 11 yards through the air. He had a chance for another touchdown through the air, but didn't quite get there. Larry Fitzgerald is still doing it.
Yeah, he's looking beast. I'm loving Larry Fitzgerald. I like it when the old veterans just keep doing it and keep doing it. He's looking solid.
I saw this quote from Bruce Arians. Someone asked him. He said, Adrian Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Carson Palmer. We've got old guys. I know how to coach old guys.
Right. 100 years of combined football experience, yeah. Right there.
So are you looking to maybe sell Larry Fitzgerald? Because we know that he plays great for 8 games and then falls off.
Yeah, and then just takes the rest of the season off.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely interested in selling high on Larry Fitzgerald.
This is a perfect, if you could trade Fitzgerald for Baldwin, would you do it? Because their seasons are basically flipped.
I would, yes.
Okay. Yeah, Baldwin turns it on in the second half, Fitzgerald starts off hot and then sort of fades.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 27.8 fantasy points. The only guy who scored more was Antonio Brown, who had just a beast of a day. Let's see, anybody else here in this game? Mike Evans was able to get into the end zone. DeSean Jackson caught a slant from the goal line.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I started him in a league, and that saved my butt on that one, although I still ended up losing.
Yeah, I decided to throw him in there at the last second because I figured Patrick Peterson is going to be on Evans, and was it Justin Bethel, who was not a good cornerback, was on DeSean Jackson.
Yep, and they really didn't exploit that matchup, but then again, Jameis Winston did get knocked out. He was kind of back in and out for the rest of the game. I mean, he came in for a couple more series, but the Cardinals got ahead so fast, there's really no need to bring Winston back in just in case.
Yep, at 100%. Next game, we have Rams 27, Jaguars 17. And as a Colts fan, I love it when other AFC South teams lose, especially the Jaguars.
Right.
But I thought at home they were going to play a little bit better than this. Todd Gurley had a pretty decent day. Sammy Watkins, what do we do with Sammy? Is he droppable at this point?
I just don't feel good about dropping him yet. He missed those deep targets, but he's still getting those deep targets. Maybe a bench flex. Maybe that's where we've got him at right now. But I couldn't drop him. If I saw him, I'd pick him up. I can't drop him.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I definitely don't want to start him. But he's a guy that he is too good of a wide receiver to drop.
Right. I think once you get a better cornerback one matchup for him, I'd start him in a second.
Yeah, he's too good of a wide receiver for them not to throw it to him, too.
Right, and I did. I honestly did say that I felt like the Rams' offense, the high octane offense, was going to beat that defense. I think that defense the week before was a high effect of just Ben Roethlisberger force feeding Antonio.
Yep. And as I said, Gurley was over 100 yards for the third time this season, which is pretty great. Good to see him having a bounce back season. Leonard Fournette had a big game. He had another carry for 75 yard touchdown.
See, and I didn't like that, but only because I was facing him in a lot of leagues. I was like, wow, is this game already over? I'm like, was that an earlier game? Or like, oh, that's one play into the game. He's already got 20 damn points.
Yeah. Yeah. 21 carries, 130 yards and a touchdown. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, he did injure his ankle, but he should be fine. He's expected to play this coming week. Marquise Lee also had a decent game. He's been getting targets, which is something that he wasn't getting last season. He was just a big play guy, but 5 catches for 83 yards on 10 targets.
Yeah, he's looking like he's definitely the dominant wide receiver on that team in Allen Robinson's absence. I grabbed him in quite a few leagues. I always felt this way. I know a lot of people were on board with Hearns, which he also turned into an okay day, but he's just not as good as Marquise Lee to me, and he's not as fast, and he can't get the route as open.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What about Chris Ivory?
You're picking him up? We went off about him a little bit earlier. You know, it's just I'm not on board. It's Chris Ivory. I fell for that once, twice, three times, no more.
You should pick him up in the Sleeper Wire League.
I should.
All right,
Aaron Rodgers for him.
I think that's good for that game. Let's move on. Chargers 17, Raiders 16. I expected the Chargers to win. I didn't expect it to be by one. I thought they would win by more.
I did too. And, you know, something that's starting to scare me, there's two things that are happening with that offense, or maybe even three. Hunter Henry's getting involved. That's getting me excited. Melvin Gordon's fitting into that draft value. I know you were higher than almost anybody I'd heard anywhere on Melvin Gordon. And look at that payoff. That guy is kicking ass, taking names.
Yeah, I had him as my RB4 after Johnson, Bell, and Zeke.
But another guy that you sold me on, Chris, is Keenan Allen. And I want an explanation.
You want an explanation about what?
About how this guy is not getting touchdowns. He's got one touchdown this year. That's it. What's going on with Keenan Allen?
Yeah, that
is
frustrating.
He got me a 7 in my PPR yesterday.
Is it a half PPR?
Yeah, half.
Okay, I got you. The issue is the passes just haven't been accurate. He's had a couple drops, but, you know, he's still getting targets. He only had 5 for 45, but he got 9 targets this week. So Rivers is still throwing the ball to him. I think Keenan Allen is going to be just fine. His schedule is not overwhelmingly difficult. Next week he's got Denver, which that kind of sucks. But then he's got the Patriots. I think he's going to have a huge game against the Patriots.
Yeah, see, and
against that defense,
you can't sell this guy right now because he's just been so unproductive. But man, I'm starting to get nervous. But I like what you're saying. I think I'm going to hold on to him. He's going to. Against the Broncos, he actually was where he scored his touchdown. So I'm kind of liking that matchup because this time they're at home.
That's true.
Okay. I'm still on board, Chris.
Good. Yeah, going back to Melvin Gordon real quick. He is finishing as the number one running back this week. 25 carries, 83 yards and a touchdown, adding on 9 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. He got 12 targets. The dude is just, in every facet of the game, he is just a stud.
Right, and I mean, to me, that could have also been a reason that you used to blame on Keenan Allen's absence. Is because why do you need to throw it to Keenan Allen when you can just hand it to Melvin Gordon? He's scoring touchdowns. He's just being, like I said, the back that you said to draft. He's being that guy.
Yeah, absolutely, and I am very happy with that. He did have a dud game against Philly, 10 for 22 and no touchdowns, but every other game he's gotten a lot of yards or he's scored a touchdown for you, and he's got 7 touchdowns on the season, which is pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what you want. Marshawn Lynch, he looked okay, but Jalen Richard I thought looked better.
I did too, and I've felt like that since day one. I've been on the Jalen Richard bus. I like him over DeAndre Washington as well. Marshawn Lynch, I'm not sold. I'm not seeing anything out of that guy that I'm liking.
He
looked better, but better isn't that good.
He did look better. 13 for 63 is a pretty good game. But he's only got 2 touchdowns on the year, and he's just not getting it done. And I know they said over the offseason that they were probably going to limit him to about 200 touches throughout the season. And I was thinking, oh, that's BS. Like, they're not going to do that. Marshawn is so good. But it seems like that's what they're going to do.
13 for 63 against the worst rushing defense in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's still better than he had been doing.
right. Exactly. He did. Not a bad game. He put up some decent numbers, but he's just not the back for that team.
Right. And Michael Crabtree came in. He also got you yet another touchdown, which is pretty good. 6 for 52 and a touchdown on 10 targets. He's got 5 touchdowns on the year.
Yeah, he's looking like Amari Cooper doesn't want the ball. Give it to Crabtree.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. 100% agree. Moving on, Steelers 19, Chiefs 13. This was not a game I expected the Chiefs to lose at home.
And I said it last week. I said, this team is just too good to keep looking like this.
Yeah, I remember. I listened to that episode.
Yeah, and I mean, so I saw it coming. I knew that they were going to do this. I didn't think they were going to do it in such a defensive fashion because the Chiefs really didn't get involved until the second half of the football game. Steelers shut that team down. So I'm back on board with a lot of the Steelers. I'm excited for them. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have a great day. Antonio Brown had a fantastic day. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you just can't hold these people down.
Right. And 32 carries for Bell, 179 rushing yards.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
That's why he went first.
Yeah.
Or second in your league.
Kareem Hunt didn't have a great day on the ground, 9 for only 21 yards, but he did catch 5 passes for 89 yards through the air, so that was pretty good. He helped you in that way.
It's amazing how just terrible he is in the first half, and then how amazing he is in the second half football game.
Yeah, it certainly is. Tyreek Hill, not a big day for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, he was kind of nursing a hamstring injury throughout the week last week, and I think that might have had a little bit to do with his involvement. And that, you know, it's another guy that if you don't get him involved, then you wonder why you're on the losing end of the scoreboard.
Yeah, I agree. Travis Kelce, also not a big game. I know the Steelers' defense has been pretty good. They've been okay, but they shut him down. Only 4 catches for 37 yards. That's not what you want from Travis Kelce, especially after an 8 for 98 game. Every other game besides week 3 against the Chargers, he's had at least 5 catches, and he didn't do that this week.
Yeah, nope, it just got shut down. And again, I think they got knocked out of their game plan pretty early. It just became a rushing defensive struggle. Kansas City was having a real tough time moving the ball. Again, in the first half, I think they got like 25 yards or something ridiculous like that.
I think
it was
6.
It might have been. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it was low. It was not the Kansas City Chiefs we've come to love and expect.
Yeah, or at least at one point in the second quarter, it was at 6. I don't know if it finished like that. But yeah, it was just bad. Alex Smith, who'd been on fire the first 4 games of the 5 games of the season, just looked like trash.
Yeah, it was not good.
All right, I think that's it for the Steelers-Chiefs game. Let's move to the Sunday night football game, Giants 23, Broncos 10. And I think this was the biggest surprise of the week, was it not?
I think I called the Broncos defense to score 100 points in that game. And the Giants just came in and just shut them down. That looked like the Broncos I've been warning you about.
Right. Now, there's a guy from this game who probably nobody started who I think we need to mention, and that's Orleans Darkwa.
Look at that guy go. He finally starting to set himself apart from the other running backs on that team. He was looking pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Against a defense that's number one in the league.
Right. Yeah. Denver, last year they had the number one pass defense. This year it's the number one rush defense. 21 carries for 117 yards. So is it, you know, a lot of people, including myself, thought it was Wayne Gallman. Is it time to drop Gallman for Darkwa? Or is this a backfield you don't want any part of?
It is a backfield that I want nothing to do with. I don't see this continuing for Darkwa. I think what you really exposed there was that the Broncos really don't have that good of a rushing defense. And their offense is so poor that they have to stay on the field so long that you can just run the ball down their throat all day. And that's the best way to be effective against that team. They don't have a guy that can throw a ball right now. You've got Brock Osweiler. You've got Trevor Siemian back there. So I think that that's what it really more exposed. To me, I'm more looking at starting running backs against Denver defense now than I am at starting Orleans Darkwa.
So if you had to pick one running back between the Seahawks and the Giants to start, who would it be?
Oh, my. I think it would have to be the Giants, actually, and I think it would have to be Orleans Darkwa.
Okay.
If I had to.
All right. Yeah, I figured that was going to be a tough call. Yeah, he looked good. So I wanted to make sure we talked about him. Evan Engram, even though I thought he was going to have maybe a down game because all the attention was going to be on him, still put up 5 for 82 and a touchdown, so he still had a great game. He's emerged as a guy who's a must-start if you have him.
Absolutely. Yeah, nope, he's been involved. I got him in a lot of leagues where I didn't have Zach Ertz, and I'm very happy with that.
CJ Anderson, moving to the Broncos, did not have a big day. Pretty down day for him.
I warned you. I warned everybody.
Yeah.
I said, this is the CJ Anderson that I know. He's not that good of a running back, and if you get any kind of a defense stacked up against him, he's just terrible. He has a great beginning of the season, and oddly enough, he has a great end of the season. But the middle of the pack, he's just terrible.
Yeah, I still think he's a guy that you need to start every week. So I'm going to disagree there because he can have plenty of big games for you. And his schedule, I think it's not too daunting. I mean, next week they have the Chargers. Then they get, I guess, then the Chiefs and the Eagles are pretty tough. But then he's got New England, Cincinnati, Oakland, Miami, New York, Indy, and Washington all in a row.
It's kind of like the opposite of matchup proof. It doesn't matter the matchup. That guy just isn't effective. The guy I'm really looking at is Booker. He looked like he was back. He looked like he was running the ball really well. I think you see him start getting more and more involved because you'll start seeing a decline in CJ Anderson. And I've just never really been invested in Jamal Charles, although he was looking pretty decent too.
Yeah, I think he might be the threat for Devontae Booker if CJ Anderson gets injured, which, you know, he is sort of injury prone. He hasn't finished a season in a couple years, has he?
I don't believe so, no.
Or maybe he's been there for the last game, but he's missed time. But, you know, this is a guy that 3 of the 5 games this season, he has 20 carries, 25 carries, and 20 carries. So they do well when they give him the ball. I don't know why they only gave him 9 carries for, I know he didn't do much with it, but they need to give him the ball more.
See, and I think that is one of their effective recipes. It's just he gets so many times where he gets that 1 yard a carry. He's just not a good running back. I think that's what wins out there.
Mm-hmm. We might have to agree to disagree on that one. Demaryius Thomas had a big day, though.
He did. I was liking that he was getting targets about damn time.
Yeah, no kidding. I think he's just everybody's been waiting for this. He had, you know, 3 decent games to start the year, including 6 for 98 at Buffalo. Last week against Oakland, I expected more out of him. But 10 for 133, that's a monster game.
Yeah, no, he had himself a night last night. And I think with Brock Osweiler being the quarterback, if he is the quarterback point forward, which it looks like it's going to be that for at least maybe this week, I like Demaryius Thomas a lot because he's connected with that guy. And Emmanuel Sanders being out, too. That also helps.
Yeah, and it's not like they've never played together before, either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the system that he grew up on.
Yep. So do you think he'll get about 7 to 10 catches with Osweiler?
If Osweiler can get him the ball, heck yeah.
All right. Last guy, I guess we talked about Emmanuel Sanders earlier. Sprained ankle, x-rays are negative for a break, so that's something he's probably going to have to miss time. But that's going to wrap it up for our weekend recap. Real quick, we're going to do one more segment. We're going to talk about our waiver wire pickups of the week. Mike, who's your waiver wire pickup?
My waiver wire pickup this week is, you'll never guess who, Dion Lewis. That's right, Dion Lewis is back in the vocabulary. I've been saying it since the beginning of the season that this guy is the best back in that backfield. They're starting to use him more. The more they use him, the better they do. And he's the by far the premier back. Gillisley is looking bad. Get him. Get this guy.
All right. I like that. So would you, do you think you can still trade Gillisley?
I don't. I don't think that that guy's had the production. I mean, yesterday he had the touches, but I just don't think so. I don't think you're going to get much value for him.
Yeah, okay. My waiver wire pickup of the week is Zach Miller. And this was, he's one of our guys for the Sleeper Wire Great Debate this week. We did Miller versus Tyler Croft, but I'm still going to put him in the show. Just a couple, maybe like a little preview of what's in the Great Debate. Through two games, Zach Miller's been the most targeted player by Mitch Trubisky with 9 targets the last 2 weeks. He's put up double-digit fantasy points in PPR each of the last 2 weeks. Mitch Trubisky likes throwing to this guy. Miller's also scored a touchdown each of the last 2 weeks, and those were against good defenses. It was the Vikings and the Ravens. He knows how to get open, and he doesn't drop a lot of passes. So, and actually, I was surprised by this. Going into this week, he was the 14th best tight end this season in PPR, and that was within 5 points of Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, and Evan Engram.
Wow, that is impressive. I did not know that either, right. But I've always been on the Zach Miller train. And especially with the rookie quarterback, you love the tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. And after playing the Ravens, depending on what Delanie Walker does, he's moved up to 11th in PPR points scored on the season. So he's moved up into a tight end one position.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Right, yeah. I was very surprised when I was looking this up. I'm going to stop there. So if you guys want to hear the rest of that, go listen to that great debate that Prophet Hoos and I did earlier, and it is up and posted. But Mike, that's all we have time for.
Excellent. Well, it's been fun as always, man. I love talking football with you, the Professor Chris.
Absolutely, DJ. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Head over to sleeperwire.com for our rankings, podcasts, and to submit a question through the site. If our podcasts or the live shows or the Sunday Blitz or website questions have helped you win or draft a winning team, we ask that you please consider making a donation to our cause. Our friend and league mate Rob Canum has chronic Lyme disease, and it's really hard to live with. Every single dollar you guys could share pushes us a little bit closer to the treatments that he needs to live a normal life again. Please visit our website, sleepwire.com, or go directly to gofundme.com/robjr. Lastly, you can find me on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris, and Mike, you are on there at Dirty Jobs.
Correct.
And you can also find me on Fantasy Life at Professor Chris, and on Instagram at Professor Chris SW. And Mike, I see that you're on Instagram now.
Yes, you can find me there at Dirty Jobs, and you can find me at Twitter at DrKane21.
Yep. And your Instagram, dirty_jobs_Mike?
Yes.
All right. I like it. Well, hey, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Tune in for the live mail sack Wednesday night. Have a good one.
The champions from the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win.